So the informant, for those who don't know, that's just the cop who charged me. He did the investigation and he charged me. That guy was one of the most dopey and dishonest police officers in all of Victoria Police. The brief of evidence, you know, the way the assault was described, you know, was an absolute disgrace. It's just not what happened. It says that the suspect identified the victim in the middle of the road, and then that I lined him up and I charged him and I knocked him off balance, and that was an assault, apparently. And that's not what happened. You can see the video for yourself. I was trying to avoid Victoria Police, that, you know, the whole time, like the entire day we were trying to avoid police.
Are you in here for Rebel News? Back at the Melbourne Magistrates Court to bring you yet another lockdown protester who has finally had his day in court. And a fantastic outcome, spoiler alert, super embarrassing for Victoria Police.
Well, the start of the day, the first thing was we woke up in the morning. Now, we know the cops have got the entire CBD sealed off. So they were closing every road into the CBD. They closed public transport. You're not getting in there. The protest organisers being, you know, not stupid, they just said, we're going to move the protest to Richmond. Vic Pol, not being, you know, particularly sharp, didn't adapt. So we started off in Richmond. We marched around. There was a handful of police chasing us. They managed to corner us in an alleyway at some point in time. But we got out of that. That was fine. And then it was about an hour later, after, you know, weaving through all the streets of Richmond and Hawthorne, we ended up trapped in a gorge in Barkers Road. At the front end was absolute carnage with three rows of riot squad. And they were pushing pretty hard back to the protesters. It was almost a stampede coming backwards as the protest group tried to back up. I went around the back where we'd actually come from, and, you know, there was a line of police blocking our exit. And, you know, essentially I went for a run through and managed to get away, copped a whole bunch of OC spray to the face, and then the rest of the crowd came through. That was a summary of the day.
I was there that day. In fact, Rukshan Fernando was pepper sprayed as well that day. It was quite intense. It was a violent day, as in police trapped the crowd, ironically, to keep them apart somehow. That was the theme in general. So I guess what happened from then? So you then went home, and what happened?
Yeah, so I got some treatment from the OC spray. I had OC spray to the eyes, but I managed to get home, and that was all fine until a couple of weeks later, knock on the door. When I say knock on the door, thudding on the door, there's four cops at my door coming into my home to arrest me.
Before they knocked on your door, I think we saw your face on TV. They were looking for you, no? Or were you not one of the ones that were there?
Look, I wasn't going to mention it. It's not the best photo of me.
I think it's important context. So once you got back, then the police were now looking to target those that were standing up at the time. Mm-hmm. They plastered your face.
I was all over Crime Stoppers. It was all over Channel 9. Like, and it was, you know, there was a list of people they were chasing for. I was one of the top two they were coming for. For some reason, the guy that took down, you know, four cops in 10 seconds, he was like number six on the list. I don't know why, but they really wanted me. I think they thought I was an organiser.
When you saw your face on TV when they were looking for you just for the fact that you were there, how did you feel at that point? You're obviously not somebody that's been in trouble with the police before. How did it feel having your face plastered on Crime Stoppers, on the news, as in police are looking for you?
Mostly I was confused because it said assaulting an emergency services worker. So, you know, the first thing I do is I go and have a look at the video of what actually happened, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm running. Cop stands in front of me. OC sprays me to the face at point blank range. I push his hands out of the way, run off in the other direction. I'm like, what are they looking for me for? That's not assault. Right? I was just running away.
Watching back the footage and seeing how you clearly didn't assault anyone. In fact, on that day, the only people that really seemed to get assaulted, clearly, brazenly, in front of all the cameras, was an old woman by Victoria Police.
Yeah, look, most of us had all already left the scene at that point in time, and she was all that was left, and you could tell it was just an old lady. She was just walking. You know, she couldn't run like the rest of us did, and what they did to her was an absolute disgrace.
Between you and that cop that essentially attacked a defenceless woman on the ground, who do you think should, if they were going to charge somebody in that situation, between what we see on camera you doing and what we see on camera that police officer did within the space of half an hour, who do you think, if one person was going to get charged, who do you think that should have been?
Yeah, look, the cop pushed over that lady, and I don't know whether it was the same one who OC sprayed her to the face after her head had been smashed on the ground. Certainly they'd be at the top of the list.
After hunting you down, they found you, knock on the door. What happened?
Yeah, so banging on the door at 5 a.m. Of course, I'm in bed, I'm in my underwear, got the whole family inside the house. Anyway, four cops there. Of course, I've got to let them in, otherwise they're going to kick the door down. They come into my home and, you know, exactly what you expect. They arrest me. They search through the entire house looking for evidence, looking for this shirt here, looking for the hat I was wearing, looking for all the clothes I was wearing. Took some photos, took my mobile phone. Of course, they arrest me. They take me down the station, give me an interview, gave me a few no comments. Then they give me a whole bunch of charges and then release me on bail.
Now, probably the most important question of this whole story is the shirt that you mentioned, I recognise it. Where'd you get it?
Rebelstore.com.au. I don't know if they're still on the website. If they're not, you need to get them back up there again. It's a great shirt.
I will make sure that when this goes live to air, we have this shirt back up there, rebelstore.com.au. I think you wore it at a lot of those protests.
Yeah, it's been washed a lot of times since then. If you try really hard, you can still smell the OC spray in it.
Being on bail, and a bail condition being having to abide by all the chief health officer directions, means that the moment you got caught without a mask, let's say, or out without a vaccine passport, you were not only committing that offence of breaching COVID restrictions, you were automatically breaching bail, which was a lot more serious. Did that play on your head?
Absolutely it did, because as I understand it, you get caught breaching bail, it's straight to jail until trial, right? And, you know, considering trials can take up to a couple of years, you know, they're pretty hopeless. That was certainly a concern.
Well, and it did take a couple of years because you've just had your trial.
Absolutely it did.
Explain to us what happened between then till the actual trial and then, of course, the outcome of the trial.
So they charged me initially with assaulting an emergency services worker, a fray, and COVID breach, you know, not wearing a mask, being outside my 5Ks, that kind of thing.
These charges, what are the penalties that you were facing?
I mean, theoretically, it was multiple years in jail. Like the assault and the affray, I don't know, it might have been a maximum of 12 or 15 years total. But realistically, I was never going to get that. All you need to do is take a look at the footage and realise that the charges are pretty silly, really never should have been brought to a court.
But they didn't bring it to a court. In fact, they took it all the way to trial. A lot of cases we saw them pull out on the last day, not yours. They took it all the way to trial. What happened?
There wasn't a prosecutor who wanted to take on the case, right? Multiple prosecutors looked at it and they took one look at it and said, I'm not bringing this to trial, right? They just didn't want to touch it. It was a hot potato. Eventually they managed to find, you know, some sucker to actually take the case and try it. But this was only 5 days before my trial. So we turn up on the day of trial and, of course, he wants a deferral. He doesn't know how he's going to make out the charges. He gave some excuses like the alleged victim still hasn't provided a statement. The alleged victim still is not available to attend as a witness today and we need to go back and add some more charges. And, you know, the judge accepted that. We come back a month later for the trial. The alleged victim, you know, the cop I apparently assaulted, still wasn't there to testify. He was not called as a witness and he still hadn't provided a statement. So the case was really over from day one. It was over. But you got no witness, mate.
So they refused to withdraw it for political reasons, obviously. They went all the way. They couldn't actually bring the witness. So what happened at the end?
The prosecutor, he actually called my lawyer 2 days before trial and said that he wanted to drop the assault. But he's a junior prosecutor. He needed a sergeant to actually sign off on it, right? So he rang up, I think it was a sergeant or maybe the informant, and they said no. So he actually had to turn up and try the case, right? Knowing full well it was not a strong case at all. And I got to hand it to the guy. He actually did it. He made a complete fool out of himself. He argued an assault when the evidence just wasn't there.
What was the outcome?
Yeah, it was not guilty on the assault, not guilty on the affray. The COVID charges I actually pled guilty to, and the magistrate described it as a flagrant breach that put the community at risk and must be punished. To be honest, it was pretty flagrant. I confess, I'm guilty. I left my home. I didn't have permission. I was outside my 5Ks and I wasn't even wearing a mask. It was just another day for me during COVID. I did that every day. So I got a fine for that. But, the serious charges, they got thrown out.
And what about costs?
I got costs too.
So the police now, it has to pay you your costs for running that case they should have never run.
I mean, 100%. It was absolutely pathetic the way they ran the case. To have any chance of a guilty verdict, that they probably would have needed to run a 9 or 10 out of 10 in the case. You know, in the end, it was a 1 out of 10. They didn't even try.
If the informant, if that police officer was watching this now, who pushed this all the way to the end, what would you say to him?
The informant, yeah. So the informant, for those who don't know, that's just the cop who charged me. He did the investigation, he charged me. So that guy was one of the most dopey and dishonest police officers in all of Victoria Police. I mean, the standard is pretty low, but he is well and truly below par. I mean, let's start off with the search warrant for my house. What was on there in terms of the alleged crimes? It was theft, right? Never mentioned again. Obviously, the assault, the affray, and also recklessly causing injury. The brief of evidence, you know, the way the assault was described, you know, it was an absolute disgrace. It's just not what happened. You know, you can see the video there, and if you read out what the brief says, the two are polar opposites. It says that the suspect identified the victim in the middle of the road, and then that I lined him up and I charged him and I knocked him off balance, and that was an assault, apparently. And that's not what happened. You can see the video for yourself. I was trying to avoid Victoria Police the whole time. Like, the entire day we were trying to avoid police. That's what we were doing. So those descriptions of events are entirely not accurate.
Now, I've got to ask you, because throughout that whole period, I pretty much saw you at every protest. Yes, I'm going to snitch on you now because nobody's coming for you. You often towered above... Well, certainly above me, with your big signs. Obviously, you were super passionate. You were out there every day protesting. And now it's a couple of years on. You've been dragged through the courts. You've been vindicated. But how do you feel about back then and now?
Look, I do it all again. But a lot of it wasn't fun. You know, after having done that for 18 months or so, you know, you get into a headspace that you really don't want to be in. You don't even know you're in there at the time. You know, it's a headspace where, you know, you're capable of doing things you don't know you're capable of. And I'm glad to be out of that, and I'm glad to be back to normal and back to leading my normal life.
If you think it's important for the world to know what Victoria Police did at the time and how they pushed it all the way to the end, and the embarrassing outcome, make sure to like, comment, but most importantly, share this story far and wide, because the mainstream media, well, on the day, that was the headlines. But now, all these years on, they've forgotten about the real victims of the COVID lockdowns and those heroes like James who stood up. And then, if you like his t-shirt and you want to support our work, go to rebelstore.com.au, get yourself some of the merch, including that t-shirt, and that way you can look good, stand for something, and support your favourite news network. rebelstore.com.au.